Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Jim Williams in studio with my favorite nutrition counselor. Jennifer Bryant is joining us. And Jennifer, I got to tell you, I'm kind of convicted because off air we're talking about, good and bad foods and what we're going to talk about today. So in our first half hour, Jennifer will be giving us insight on cooking oils and the concept of good and bad foods interwoven within that. And then in our second half hour, she'll give us some straight talk about aging and metabolism as we get older. So I'm one of those people, Jennifer, that if I, you know, the old commercials with Lay's potato chips, you can't eat just one. I should have been doing those commercials because I can't stop eating those. I'll eat a whole bag of those if they're in front of me.
Yep. Jim, we talked about this last time. I think you have a extreme love for Lay's potato chips.
Man, and well, just any potato chips. I like Ruffles. I like Fritos. I mean, I like everything that's probably bad for you.
Sure.
But we're going to talk about that, and let's just start right off the bat. As we cover these subjects today, I want to make sure that people know how to access information that you already have available. So
yes.
Share with us your website and tell people how to get signed up on your newsletter.
Sure. So I send out a weekly newsletter to a lot of my clients, but also just people who are interested in learning about good research-based nutrition topics and ideas. And also sometimes I write articles about how the Bible relates to nutrition and what can we learn from God's word about what we're eating. So,
nice.
So if you're interested in that, you can visit my website. It's www.nourishednutritioncounseling.com. And there's a tab on there where you can click to, it says newsletter at the top, and you can click on it and you can enter your email and you're signed up and you can unsubscribe at any time if you get bored or whatever. So just try it out and see if you learn something. You probably will. I usually post a little bit of an article or just some quick thoughts for the week and then a recipe and a Bible verse for the week as well.
Well, in addition to doing nutrition counseling, you're also a mom.
Yes.
And a wife.
Yes.
And you've got plenty of things on your plate.
Yes.
So you've tried to provide your website as a resource
yes.
for people to go in and refer to things.
And
exactly. Then, if you want to access this interview, you can go to abqconnect.online. And this interview and our other podcasts are available so that you can listen to them. You can even download them and, you know, attach links to whatever you want if you're interested in doing that type of thing. You can join our blog. And if you make comments about maybe you want to have a question for Jennifer and you don't want to talk to her today necessarily on the radio. And if you do want to, by the way, you can call 505-338-5790 and Jennifer will take your calls while we're on the air today. But if you'd rather just send in a request, we won't answer those today, but on future shows with Jennifer, we'll be able to address those questions. So again, nourishednutritioncounseling.com.
Yep.
Jennifer, are some foods designed so that we cannot stop eating them?
Yes.
Because it can't be my fault
no.
that I can't put down a Lay's potato
yeah,
chip.
Yeah, there's actually been a lot of research about the addictive properties of some of the common ingredients that we find. And really what we're talking about is a lot of our processed foods, right? And so, and it's not just one ingredient, but it seems to be more of a combination of ingredients. So when you get a high fat, high sugar, high salt type of food, those are the foods that people find themselves quote unquote addicted to.
Right.
And so there's definitely some research behind that. It's not in your head, but that doesn't mean you're stuck there, right? It's the same as any type of addiction. There are definitely ways to, I call it recover.
Well, and I joke about being a chip-aholic, but I'm actually not joking.
Right.
I can't even have potato chips on the table. I know there's a few Mexican food restaurants in town that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And when you combine a salty, high-fat chip with a gob of cheese, like con queso, it's... I can't stop.
Or a spicy salsa.
A salsa.
Have you ever gotten to the point where you're eating the salsa and it's so spicy and you think, well, maybe if I just eat more, it'll be less spicy?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not in your head. There is some addictive properties. So I actually recommend what I call a reset for some of those issues for people. And all that means is that you want to think about a specific period of time. I usually say 2 weeks, sometimes more, depending on how severe the quote unquote addiction is. 2 weeks, you do not eat that food, period. Ever. It's out of your house. You don't eat it at a restaurant. You don't eat it. And this works particularly well with sugar, but you could probably use this with your Lay's potato chips as well. And then after that, this is the hardest part. You are welcome to reintroduce that food when you feel like you're ready. And then that's the hard part, right? Because you have to use that decision-making power that you have inside your brain to tell yourself, I am going to have 5 of these. And you get out 5 of those chips or whatever is your poison, Oreo cookies.
There is no whatever. Way I can eat 5 Lay's potato chips.
Okay, Jim, hear me out. Okay. Now your reset period might be a little bit longer than 2 weeks. Okay. But the goal is then you can't just sit down and eat them in front of the TV. You can't just sit down and eat them even with a group of people. You have to be very intentional about this, okay? You sit down at your kitchen table and you put them in front of you and you actually think about those 5 chips and you eat them slowly and you enjoy them and then that's it. Once you can get to master that kind of an exercise, I call that mindful eating. When you're actually thinking about what you're eating, you get a lot more satisfaction out of the food that you're eating, even if it's not so good for you, than you would if you're eating it while doing other activities.
This isn't on our list of questions, but I'm thinking of it as you're talking. Is it good for us to eat alone? I mean, there's a lot of single people out there and we kind of sit down on the couch.
Yes.
Or at the, you know, we're watching TV or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're just, it's just me in the bag.
Yep.
Of
That's
chips
a great or, question.
Yeah.
It depends. There's a lot of psychology behind why we eat and when we eat and how we eat, right? And so there's some red flags to look for. If you're eating alone and you feel like you can't control it, then that's probably a red flag that you should potentially not eat alone. Or I did this with a client last week. You can make a rule for yourself where you have a designated place to eat in your house. And so I usually would recommend the kitchen table. And then there's a rule that you do not eat anywhere else. And so the couch in front of the TV is definitely one of the big issues people have. We tend to eat so much more when we're eating mindlessly in front of the TV on the couch.
Yeah, thinking about what you're eating is interesting.
It is.
And we got a lot more to talk to Jennifer about this afternoon. So stay with us here on ABQ Connect. We'll be back after these messages.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
So we weren't ready to sell our home, but we did need to move. So we needed to find a realtor who also did property management. One of the things that was important to us, to my husband and I, is that we started putting our money where our mouth was and hiring someone who is a believer, hiring someone who is a Christian. It was maybe a week. That he came over to our house, toured it, and got the contract signed. I would say overall, Dom was efficient. He was available, quick, easy. I didn't have to worry about a thing.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644. 899-4644.
Se habla español.
Here's Pastor Mike Fabares with your one-minute focal point.
Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a question we all grapple with and we may be personally burdened by. But one day this problem of evil will be a distant memory. In a vision of the future, the prophet Isaiah saw himself, quote, making the crooked things straight and the rough places plain, unquote. In the meantime, we got to wait for the great day of biblical vindication. Slander, deception, misunderstanding may rule the day for now, but God encourages us to be patient. Jesus told us in John 16, in this world we're going to have trouble, but take heart, he says, I've overcome the world. So for now, let's follow Peter's advice and commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Get more hard-hitting, straight-up Bible teaching when you listen to Focal Point's half-hour program. Consider Pastor Mike Fabares as your personal Bible coach. He'll take you through the paces right here on this station. And listen anytime at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, the Nourished Nutrition Counselor in studio with us this afternoon. And Jennifer, you are a Christian person.
Yes.
You're teaching Bible studies. You're equating a lot about diet with what biblical principles are.
Correct.
And that doesn't just include the food that
right.
the Bible talks about. It includes accountability
yes.
and health and taking care of this temple that God's given us.
Yes.
And I know you've had conversations with people that are overweight. They could be 10 pounds overweight. They could be 30 pounds overweight. And weight is, I don't want anyone to have a self-image that's negative.
Yes.
Because what I want them to have is a great deal of hope.
Absolutely.
You encourage people not to be on diets.
Right.
In our very first show, you said one of the primary indicators of weight gain is whether you have been on a diet.
Yes.
In recent months.
Yes.
So before we go to some of the questions about cooking oils, I want you to give people some hope about, you know, if you're 400 pounds or 250 pounds, you have hope of actually becoming healthier.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't like to focus on weight
okay.
itself. So that's the first thing. So if weight loss is a goal, then yes, I am going to say that is going to happen, but that's not our primary focus. Our primary focus is getting healthy and feeding our bodies correctly. Okay. And so a lot of that is paying attention to what you're eating, making good choices. You know, exercise plays a role in that, but just feeling good in your body. And so whether that's, you know, losing 5 pounds or 10 pounds or none, you can change your nutrition and feel absolutely different and not lose a pound. And so there's a difference there between focusing on the weight loss and just focusing on being healthy. So I like to focus on being healthy, and then the weight loss sort of comes secondary.
And this is kind of a good transition into our cooking oil questions of the day. Cooking oils are fat.
Yes.
And there are healthy fats.
Yes.
Because everything we look at on the grocery store shelf says, oh, non-fat
right.
and this and that. And I don't think that's really true or accurate or healthy, right?
Right. So I don't know if you remember this, Jim, but in the 90s, maybe late 80s, early 90s, there was a fad coming out, right? That it was like, as long as it's no fat, it's healthy and you should eat it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So enter, this is where we found all the Snackwell's cookies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened? Well, people thought, oh, they don't have any fat. So I guess I can just eat however much
I want.
Yeah. Right. And so what ended up happening was people thought they were eating healthy by eating quote unquote low fat or no fat. And they ended up gaining weight because they were eating more calories.
They were eating mainly sugar, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's what a lot of manufacturers do. So another really good example is like a low-fat peanut butter. The manufacturer actually adds sugar to that low-fat peanut butter to make it taste better because they took out the fat. So if you look at the labels and you compare, the low-fat peanut butter has the same amount of calories as the regular peanut butter, but it has a lot more sugar.
I'm going to say this again, and people are probably tired of me talking about potato chips, but I'm not just joking about that.
Right.
I weighed 275 pounds. Now I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'7",
mm-hmm.
but I weighed 275 pounds. When I stopped, this is 8-9 years ago, stopped eating chips on a regular basis, I lost 50 pounds.
Right.
Just
right.
by not eating chips.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's embarrassing how many chips I used to eat. I mean, I'm not exaggerating about eating 4 baskets full of chips and con queso and guacamole at Sadie's or Garduño's or one of our fine, you know, Mexican food restaurants.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about healthy oils
yeah.
and compare that to a bad oil.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I think it is important to remember that oils are fats. They're healthy fats. So we have a couple different kinds of fats. We have saturated fats and we have unsaturated fats. Our vegetable oils are going to fall in that unsaturated fat category. And those are going to be a little bit healthier for us than the saturated fats. The saturated fats come from animal fats. So we're talking about butter, you know, bacon, all of the higher fat meats. Mm. Coconut oil is actually also a saturated fat. Okay. So there's a continuum where these saturated fats aren't as healthy for us as the unsaturated fats. They're not necessarily bad, but we do want to keep in mind that we want to try to have more of our fats from these vegetable sources. And so my favorite cooking oils are olive oil for sure. That's the one I use almost all the time. That's my favorite. If I am cooking at a higher heat though, and I want something that has a little bit higher smoke point, and you know that because when you're cooking, your oil will actually start to smoke. And when that happens, it's actually not good. Mm-hmm. The chemical composition of that oil is changing. And so if you're going to be cooking at a really high heat, you actually want to use something that has a little more saturated fat in it. And so for that, I would recommend coconut oil. I also like avocado oil, and grapeseed oil is really nice also for like salad dressings.
Mm. So let's say you go to Teppan Grill, mm-hmm. a Japanese-style mm-hmm. cooking, and you have, you know, everybody sits around in a kind of a square, and you have the griddle in front of you. What are the oils they're using? Because they don't really smoke that much.
Yeah, they actually use butter quite a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was actually just at one of these 2 weeks ago, so it's funny you asked that question. I haven't been to one in 10 years, so then I was just there. So they used a lot of butter, I noticed. He brought out a big plate of butter, and it probably was a pound of butter. And, I mean, there were six of us at the table, so, you know, it's split out among six of us. But still, a pound of butter is a lot of butter.
I think, Jennifer, though, people in my generation are going to say, we use the word butter for margarine.
Right.
And or real butter.
Right.
So there's a big difference between those two things.
There is, yes. When I say butter, I'm talking about the actual butter from churning the milk from a cow, yes.
Okay.
Not the margarine. So generally speaking, I recommend staying away from margarines. We talked a little bit about this last episode, but they have the really bad fats. And this is the exception. I would really stay away from these. These are the trans fats. These are the hydrogenated oils. And you'll see that on the label. So if you're looking for a margarine type spread, they do make some blends of olive oil and butter, but definitely stay away from those hydrogenated oils. Those are bad news.
So you can find that on a label?
Yes, absolutely.
Of a food product?
Yep.
And if it says hydrogenated oil, we're staying away from it.
Exactly.
Now, what if you like popcorn? What should you cook this popcorn
is,
in?
This is a really good example, Jim, of where we get a lot of our trans fats. All okay. of those microwave popcorns.
Oh, yeah.
They all have trans fats in them. There's a couple exceptions, so I guess I shouldn't say all, but 90% of them have trans fats. So you definitely want to be cooking it on your own. An oil is best. If you can do an air popper, that's actually probably the best. And then you can put your own oil on it. I like to make oil blends where I use some olive oil just in a small little bowl, and then I add a bunch of herbs or spices. So you make it have a really nice flavor without getting all of the bad fats from butter.
Gotcha. But you kind of look at doing that after the popcorn's
yes,
cooked.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Now, if you don't have an air popper, what do you cook? What oil should you use to cook popcorn in?
That's a good question. I guess I would probably say coconut oil would be the next choice, just because it does have that high smoke point. So the popcorn needs to be at a really hot temperature to pop.
Okay.
So coconut oil would probably be the next choice.
And hydrogenated oils, are kind of those that look kind of like butter.
Well,
like a margarine.
What they do is they're actually man-made. There's some of those trans fats that we find naturally occurring in animal proteins like steaks and hamburgers and things, but they're man-made. And so what they do, what the food manufacturers do, is they actually take a healthy oil, just maybe a regular vegetable oil, and they actually add hydrogen molecules to it. And so this is where we get the term hydrogenated oils.
I understand. And they do that to make it appear like butter.
Yes. And so it's much more shelf stable. So you'll find it in products that can be in your pantry for years and not go bad. Okay. Mm. And then it's also very palatable. We like the taste of it. And so that's how the trans fats were born.
But it's a big no.
Yes.
If you want to eat healthily.
Yes, it is.
Or more healthy.
Yes.
I guess that's the word.
Yes.
Our number here is 505-338-5790. Jennifer Bryan in studio with me with Nourish Nutrition Counseling. We'll be back with more from Jennifer right after these messages.
Change is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system running? Remove dampener, check filter, inspect compartments. Wait, I might have to get up on the roof for all this? Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor. Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with expositional teachings from Dr. Skip Heitzik, now available from Veritas International University, featuring online classes from The Bible from 30,000 Feet, the renowned book and teaching series by Dr. Skip Heitzik of Calvary Church, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule and work toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Plus, when you complete the Bible from 30,000 Feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. For a complete list of classes and to enroll, visit calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Fierce Nakawati with principal office in Dallas, Texas. Attention landscapers and anyone working in the landscape industry. This is an important alert for users of the weed killer Roundup that have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. A California jury recently awarded $289 million to a landscaper who claimed Roundup gave him cancer. If you work with Roundup weed killer and were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you could be entitled to significant compensation. Don't wait. Call the Roundup legal helpline now. 800-991-9511. Again, 800-991-9511.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at MyPowerFord.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, a Montaño west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant, nourishnutritioncounseling.com is her website. And as we are talking about things today, we're talking about cooking oils, a couple more things to say about that. But Jennifer has several articles. She has some very nice recipes that apply a lot of what we're talking about. And, you know, we're talking today about good and bad foods, and that kind of indicates, I think you told me, a diet mentality, and you try to get people away from a diet mentality,
yes.
Right?
So the idea that foods can be good and bad is typically detrimental to our success in changing habits. There's a lot of psychology that says if we equate a food and we think it's bad, then that makes us want more of it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So as soon as somebody says no,
yes,
you want more of it.
Yes. It's like if you have little kids, right? And you tell them no, what happens? They want it more, right? It's the same thing with us. And so I think that...
Can I tell you a funny story
about
that? So I had five children, or have five children. They're all great, but they're all grown up. So we did a little experiment where we had the kids in a room and some other neighborhood kids, and I put a bowl of green peas on the table. And of course we came back half an hour later and there were peas strewn everywhere. Okay, no big deal. But the next time we did it, we told the kids, do not put these peas in your nose.
And what did they do?
And guess what? and it was just like clockwork, you know?
Yep.
We had, you know, 90% of the kids were putting these things in their nose. So I can see why if somebody says, don't eat this.
Mm-hmm.
So what should we consider? Not, we should consider good or bad foods. What should we?
Yeah. So I think the way to think about it is we want to think that all foods can fit, Okay. And so one particular food isn't necessarily bad. So I'm going to take your Lay's potato chips. If you ate 4 or 5 Lay's potato chips, I don't think anybody would argue that that wasn't necessarily a bad choice. You only had 4 to 5. It really wasn't a big deal, right? But you can also go the other way. And let's say you love avocados. And let's say you ate 4 avocados in one sitting. Now you say, well, that probably wasn't the best choice either, right? So we took a perfectly healthy food and we made it not so good because we ate too much of it. And then we took another food that maybe wasn't so good for us, but we didn't eat very much. And so that was okay too. So I think just the idea of all foods can fit, I think, is a really important concept. And so this is part of that whole diet mentality. And the study that you mentioned earlier that said the number one predictor of weight gain is going on a diet. I think if we can think more about just changing our habits in small ways that seem manageable to us, I think we're going to be a lot more successful.
I asked you this the last time, but a lot of times people think about changing their diet in terms of expense. They think it's going to be really expensive to eat correctly. Is that true?
No. Not always. You can make it that way. There's a lot of food companies that want you to make it that way, and they market to the people who want to eat healthier these very expensive products. But actually, most of your whole foods that you're purchasing are actually a lot less expensive than a lot of those processed foods. So, you know, you look at a bag of chips and you're looking at paying $3 to $4 for a bag of chips, and how much fresh produce could you get for that? I mean, zucchini right now is $1 a pound, apples $1.20 a pound. There's so many things that you could get for that one bag of potato chips that is less expensive.
Are there textures and things that you can substitute? Like I don't know, for example, if maybe, and I'm staying for the most part away from chips.
Yes.
And I have had some success in losing weight. Of course, that's offset with, or not offset, but complemented by a pretty rigorous training program and working out.
Exercise.
And when I miss that, I feel worse.
Right.
There are people that are going to say they eat clean, so they stay away from any and all of what is that?
Yeah,
what does
clean
it mean?
Eating.
Right.
It basically means you're staying away from all processed foods. And it can be a very good thing. It can also be a not so good thing. And this is where we see some disordered eating come in, is when people get really preoccupied, is a good word to use, with the fact that they need to eat clean. And so they avoid social situations or other situations just to keep themselves eating clean. And it can almost become an obsession. So it's not a bad way to do it, but again, it goes back to what we were just talking about, and the mentality that all foods can fit, I think, is just, it's so important to have a healthy outlook on the way that you treat your body and the way you're looking at how other people treat their body too. Because I think what I see a lot of times is people have it in their minds that they should eat a certain way. And then when they see somebody else eating a different way, there's a lot of judgment there. And so that can be really harmful too for, you know, relationships or for even your own eating habits.
And there's some real strong biblical principles about that.
Absolutely.
You know, not, the Bible's pretty clear about not holding against someone what they eat.
Yes.
And put in their bodies.
Yeah. And I think we need to remember that just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for somebody else. And so a lot of times I'll get people coming to me saying, you know, this keto diet or whatever diet they're talking about worked really well for my friend, so I'm going to do it.
You said something in our previous segment about you don't concentrate on weight.
Yes.
So that really says to me you don't concentrate on body image. You're concentrating on health. And there's so many people now with eating disorders.
Yes.
It's my impression, without having the actual facts, that there are more women that have eating disorders than men, but I know a lot of men do have those,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you're a young person or any age person that has an eating disorder, mm-hmm. How do you help people get back on track?
So first of all, it's usually not just me. Mm. Okay. It's usually me and also a counselor of some sort, usually a psychologist. And so there's a team approach there, right? This is where we were talking a little bit about this earlier, where you start adding in some, and for these people that have disordered eating or mild eating disorders, we call them fun foods, where every single day they actually have to eat a fun food. And a lot of times this is a food that they really have enjoyed in the past, but they've somehow gotten the impression that it's bad. And so they have made these rules that they can no longer eat these foods. And so this is actually one of the best tricks of helping people overcome disordered eating is by adding back in some of those so-called forbidden foods.
You know, I think what helped me, I wish I could tell you it was sheer willpower to stop eating chips, but what really happened is I probably drank as many soft drinks as anybody and ate a lot of chips, but then unfortunately, and she's healthy, but when my daughter, who's now 21, when she was 4 years old, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. So I have not had a soft drink since then. Now, I wish I could tell you that I stopped eating chips then, because now I'd probably weigh, you know, a lot less than I do now. But I had that motivation because she doesn't eat a lot of chips. You know, those carbohydrates are automatically converted into glucose and in many cases stored as fat. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of things going on in our bodies. So since I eliminated that, I literally just naturally through working out and so forth, I wasn't getting those additional carbohydrates and storing that as fat on my body. Mm-hmm. So that was my motivation to try to encourage my daughter and kind of experience life from the same perspective she was, because it's a difficult thing being a type 1.
Well, and it helps to be, if you're a person of support like that and you are her father, right? So that's a big position of support. It helps if you're a good example.
Yeah.
You know, the child wants to follow in your footsteps. So,
well, Jennifer's already telling us that food is good, and sometimes our perception of good and bad is not the correct perspective. We're going to have more with Jennifer after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and we are your true locally owned and operated VA mortgage broker. As a broker, we have helped many veterans get into homes with little or no money out of pocket. This is done by lender credits. It works like this. Our rate is consistently 0.25% to 0.75% lower than other lenders in New Mexico. If we just match the rate of other lenders, we won't keep the profit on the higher rate. We turn that money over to the veteran. These lender credits can save the veteran thousands of dollars in closing costs. There is no reason lenders should be charging such high rates on VA loans. So I encourage all veterans looking to purchase or refinance to shop that mortgage around. Don't take a higher rate if you don't need to. And if you do, let us pay your closing costs. Call Indigo Mortgage at 836-5700. That's 836-5700 or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 1884.
G'day to you. It's Joel and Luke here from the band For King Country with some thrilling news.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships, the world tour in Albuquerque, New Mexico on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
It's going to be quite a night of music and stories. It's just going to be you and us. We'll be taking the stage at the top of the show. And in honor of Burn the Ships, the production design will be inspired by the bow of a ship, making it the most elaborate but intimate night you've experienced with us yet.
And we'll also be playing more music than ever before. Every song from our latest album, as well as many of your favorites, such as Fix My Eyes and Priceless. Fix my eyes.
So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
Join us October 19th at Tingley Coliseum. Reserve your seats right now at FakinCountry.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant with Nourish Nutrition Counseling in studio with me this afternoon, and we're talking about cooking oils and good and bad foods. You said earlier in the segment that you liked olive oil the best for using on salads and those type of things.
And for just cooking in general, sautéing and roasting.
But not real high heat. So
right.
if it starts smoking, you got to turn the burner down.
Right.
Off air, you said, look, there's a lot of people advertising fried foods that don't use trans fat.
Yes.
and I've got a new piece of knowledge you need to share with everybody else.
So anytime we heat a oil, any kind of oil, to a high enough temperature, it actually changes chemical composition and it turns into a trans fat. So it's literally impossible to fry a food without having it have trans fats in it.
So if you're going to the chicken store and they're advertising they don't use trans fat, that's not accurate.
It's not exactly true. They don't start out using trans fat, but in the cooking process, those trans fats do form. The longer the oil is in the fryer and the longer it's hot, the more trans fats there are.
Mm. So we really need to avoid, if possible,
fried foods.
You know, fried foods.
Yes.
And that includes my beloved donuts.
And that's tricky, Jim, because what's coming up in a couple of weeks here in town, it's the state fair,
yep.
Right? Which is everything you walk by is fried.
Yes.
And I can almost guarantee you those stands are not changing out their oil on a daily basis.
So funnel cakes and sopapillas and all these things are really trans fat.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, if you're telling me, well, Jennifer, there is no way I'm going to the fair this year and I'm not going to have a whatever, fill in the blank, funnel cake, corn dog, whatever you love. Remember, it's okay to have that once or twice a year. But there are so many events and things that happen now where these fried foods are available that what ends up happening is we don't just have them once or twice a year. We have them quite frequently.
What happens to a trans fat in your body? I mean,
so,
are these carcinogenic and those
no,
type of things?
No, not necessarily carcinogenic. They're really bad for our heart health.
Mm.
So that's the big thing. So cholesterol in general, we have bad cholesterol, which is the LDL. It makes that go up. It also makes our good cholesterol, the HDL, which we want more of, it makes that go down. It makes our triglycerides go up. There's so many negative effects from those trans fats in our arteries. They cause the blood to be thicker. They cause the blood to form plaque on the outsides of our arteries. So this is really, it's really detrimental to our heart health is really the negative effect.
But not really if you just do it once in a while.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so we don't need to get, you know, terribly legalistic about it.
Exactly.
And I don't want to criticize people that have made a commitment to, hey, I'm eating cleanly.
Right.
But we don't want to get obsessed about that either and creates, you know, eating disorders.
Exactly.
And so forth. We also don't want to get obsessed about our body image because that can lead us down the wrong path and
exactly.
create a lot of, I mean, I know several people that have been anorexic or
mm-hmm.
bulimic
mm-hmm.
and what they do to their bodies, they don't have enough nutrients. So their body starts using proteins,
mm-hmm.
which is actually
your muscles
and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And they just literally, their bodies eating themselves from inside out.
That's right.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. And just really, it's an unhealthy mental attitude towards food. So I think we need to guard our minds against just unhealthy thoughts.
Well, I like what you have to say also about the preparation of foods.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fellowship that can be had. When you're having a dinner party, you don't necessarily have to make everything.
Right.
You know, you can have a potluck or you can prepare foods together.
Yes.
And most of the time that's going to be something healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think cooking together is a skill we've kind of lost. So I think it's really nice to bring that back to the family, and family meals are so important. In fact, my pediatrician gives us a questionnaire before we go back for the visit. And he asks, how many meals a week do you sit down as a family? So that practice has been shown to actually influence the child's health. And so I think we need to get back to some of those things that we've lost in our busy lives.
Well, it's one thing to break bread with someone. A lot of good fellowship over eating together.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of neat conversation
yes.
and things you can learn as in preparing the food.
Yes.
I know that all five of my children actually have the ability to cook, which
mm-hmm.
I'm amazed at.
Great.
I was raised with three younger sisters, and I know two of them really like to cook. You know, and I'm not expecting everybody likes to cook. I have some great friends that they wouldn't go in the kitchen. They have these beautiful Wolf ranges that have never, the oven's never been open. So yep. we always want to go over there and use it to prepare something for us
Break
over
it
at
in.
Their house. That's right. Well,
yeah.
we got to shift gears a little bit away from cooking oils and so-called good and bad foods, and talk about aging a little bit.
Sure.
And metabolism.
Yeah.
Explain a little bit about what happens to
us. Well, the biggest thing that happens as we age, and what we're talking about is every year after the age of 30, okay? So even starting as young as 30, we start losing muscle mass. Mm. And our muscle mass is the main driver of our metabolism. There's other factors. You know, we have genetics, we have types of foods that we eat, but our muscle mass is one of the big indicators of how fast our metabolism is. And so if we don't actively work to keep that muscle mass after age 30, then we're going to lose it. And guess what happens to our metabolism all along the way?
It slows down and you exactly. don't burn as many calories and exactly. start gaining weight,
yes,
et cetera.
Exactly. So the thought of, you know, just go for a walk every day or go to your aerobics class every day, that's really not enough anymore. We really want to think about adding some strength training to really help our metabolisms continue.
I can tell you right now, I know women that will tell you, oh, I don't want to lift weights because I don't want to get like a bodybuilder. I don't want to be bulky.
Yes.
That's not true.
That's not true. I have never seen a woman who isn't taking supplements, potentially, because those do have the opportunity to make women gain more muscle than they should. But if you're eating healthy and you're lifting weights, even if they're heavy, you are not going to get bulky. You're not going to look like a man.
And it's not just important for metabolism. It's also something very beneficial to support your bone structure.
Yes. It's very important for bone health.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, lifting a little bit, I highly recommend getting involved with a trainer if
yes.
you don't have a lot of experience with that.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this. I found this really fun. I train at the JCC.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Blackwell over there and Josh were very patient with me. I was a pretty egocentric workout person. I came into their gym and thought I knew everything about what I learned in 1976 being at the University of New Mexico. And of course I was doing everything like they did in 1976
yeah.
and now everything's completely changed.
Right.
So don't have a big ego about it. Be
yeah.
open to some people that know what they're doing because everything has changed. The methods of lifting, the,
mm-hmm.
the safety of lifting,
mm-hmm.
The workouts that you do with groups in terms of yoga and dance. And oh, I made fun of people in yoga.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that looks really easy. So I went to one class for 10 minutes and was already exhausted after holding two positions.
Right.
And, you know, the little girls in there, including my daughters, made fun of me. That's the truth.
One other thing, Jim, that I think is really important is that metabolism does not do well, especially as we age, with a moderate continuous activity. So when I see somebody on the treadmill just walking for an hour, they are not doing their metabolism any favors. So what I'm trying to encourage all of my clients to do is incorporate some interval training.
Oh, nice. Well, we're going to talk more about that. We'll be back more with Jennifer right after these messages. Stay with us.
Attention! Upgrading your bathtub to a shower system can prevent fall-related injuries. The National Aging in Place Council suggests that eliminating an old bathtub for a walk-in shower can greatly increase bathroom safety. Introducing a new Kohler shower solution that fits directly into your existing bathtub space and is engineered for safety and cleanliness. This month only, take $7.99 off a Kohler shower system with 12 months no money down, no payments, and no interest. Trust your Kohler project to America's number one remodeling company, Dreamstyle Remodeling. With professional installation from Dreamstyle Remodeling and superior material by Kohler, you can count on your new shower to be premium quality. Take $7.99 off your Kohler shower system with 12 months no money down, no payments, and no interest. This exclusive offer is only available by calling 595-0351 or visiting DreamstyleShowers.com. That's 595-0351.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Duke City Ready Mix is all about quality on every load and delivering that quality when we say we will, equating it to the best service in the valley. Our goal is to enhance our communities with self-sustaining families through employment at Duke City and giving back to the communities who have given so much to us. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community. The premier concrete, sand, and gravel company in the valley. Contact us at 877-5777 or at qualitymattershere.com.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
It's already time to think about going back to school. Albuquerque Christian Children's Home always gets new kids right before school starts, and they often arrive with only the clothes they're wearing. Plus, the children who are already at ACCH have grown. All of these kids need clothes and shoes that fit. Please pick up a gift card at local clothing outlets and donate it to ACCH. For more information, call 898-5520. That's 898-5520. Or visit acchkids.org. And thanks for helping the kids at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acchforkids.org or call 898-5520.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
And here in our final segment with Jennifer Bryant this afternoon, she is the founder of Nourish Nutrition Counseling. She has a website that is nourishednutritioncounseling.com, mm-hmm. and she's encouraged us today to get involved with her newsletter. Now, you're not going to get 47 emails a day or anything like that. It's just a way to get some information, and your newsletter covers things like fats and cooking oils and some recipes. Yes. What else is in your newsletter?
Yeah, I do really anything that's kind of a hot topic in nutrition at the time I like to write about, because people are always asking me. And so it's great when I have an article that I can just say, go read this.
Well, and already this afternoon we've learned if a package says low fat, right. what it probably means is that it's really high in sugar.
Right.
And salt.
Right.
And so tell us a little bit about calories. We have carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Mm-hmm. How does our body handle those when we eat them?
Yeah, so it's an age-old question, you know, is a calorie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer is yes, but also no. So we get calories from the three things you just said, carbohydrates, fats, proteins. We also get them from alcohol.
Mm.
Okay, so alcohol is its own sort of category. It's not a nutrient because our body doesn't need it, but it does provide calories for us.
So when people talk about having a beer belly,
yes,
that's really caused maybe by having a few much alcohol.
Yeah, there's a lot of calories in alcohol. Even if it's a low carb alcohol, there's still a lot of calories from the actual alcohol.
Gotcha.
The other thing that I would say about is a calorie is our body really processes calories different depending on the source. So if we eat a Snickers candy bar and it's 200 calories and we eat broccoli, a plate of broccoli that's 200 calories, our body handles that so much differently. So the processed foods have a likelihood to go into our fat cells a little bit easier because there's not really any nutritional value associated with that Snicker bar.
Mm.
Whereas when we eat the broccoli, that has a lot of other nutrients in it. It has fiber, it has vitamins and minerals, it has phytochemicals, it has antioxidants. Our body works so much better to process that broccoli and to use it as energy rather than storing it as fat.
What about those of us who, you know, eating raw broccoli, I don't mind, but it sure is a lot better with some sour cream or a little cheese or some French onion dip.
Yes.
Bad?
Well, again, not necessarily bad. It depends how often you're doing that. And also, I'd encourage you to think about, is there another way I can prepare the broccoli that I would enjoy just as much? And so a great example for vegetables for me personally, I love roasting them. So I drizzled that broccoli with just a little bit of olive oil. I might sprinkle some cayenne pepper on it to give it a little spice, and I throw it in the oven. And it tastes so much better than just eating the raw broccoli. So
dinner at Jennifer's tonight.
Yeah, it's just, it's finding ways to make food good. Food is supposed to taste good, you know, and healthy food doesn't have to taste bad.
So I was a banker for many years, and I always had an interesting experience looking at financials of my clients. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, they say that 33.5% of all statistics are made up on a spot. So I don't want to, I'm confessing that I don't know the actual number, but I would estimate that over 70% of the people that were, had high income and did really well, very few people spend less money than they make. Very few people burn as many calories as they eat.
Yes.
So we eat too much.
Right.
I'm asking you this because I want people to understand kind of the math, if you will. You can't just go eat a zillion carbohydrates. Now, you don't necessarily have to eliminate carbohydrates because then your brain doesn't work quite as well and so on and so forth. But most of us, again, chips, going back to that analogy, is a ton of carbohydrates. And if you don't burn those carbohydrates that you ingest, it gets converted into glucose, and then if you don't use that glucose, it's stored as fat.
Exactly.
What happens to the protein simultaneously? You got to have some protein.
Right.
While you're burning carbohydrates, you talked about our metabolism is primarily controlled by our muscle mass. So not necessarily by our age, but we lose muscle mass starting at after age 30.
Yeah.
So we have to do some physical things to keep ourselves going.
Right.
And staying on a treadmill for an hour and a half a day is not necessarily the way to go.
Yeah. So we were talking about intervals, and I think that this is a concept that's become a lot more popular. And some of the listeners maybe have heard of the term HIIT. It stands for high intensity interval training. And it has shown to do wonders for metabolism, for blood sugars, for cholesterol, for waist measurements. So as we get older, one of the things that happens is we end up storing a little more fat in our midsections. And so this high intensity interval training is really helping with that. It's really helping reduce the waistlines.
Now, how is that different? Let's say that you enjoy cycling.
Right.
So you go out and you ride 30 miles. You're saying that may not be as good as developing a high intensity interval training regiment with cycling. Well, how would that look different?
You could actually do the high intensity interval training while you're doing your 30 mile cycle easily. It's really just a matter of paying a little bit of attention to your heart rate. And so you're letting your heart rate go really high for a short amount of time, 30 seconds to a minute, somewhere in there, depending on how much you can handle. And then you're going back down again in that intensity. You're slowing down. You're going down a hill, something different, and you're letting your heart rate come down again. And so there's that interval training that we're talking about, and you can really do it with any kind of exercise.
So the old days of going into a weight room, and one day you're doing 10-pound dumbbells and doing bicep curls. The next workout, you're going to try to do 20 pounds. That's not necessarily the way you want to do it.
Well, exactly. Weight training actually can fit into that interval training quite well, though, because if you think about it, weight training is kind of inherently interval anyway, right? You have a really intense, you know, 30 seconds of work and then you rest. The problem is when a lot of people weight train, they rest for much too long. And so they let their heart rate come down too far, they rest too much, and they don't get enough of that high intensity.
Yeah, and there's so many people now in town. I mean, there's a lot of personal trainers mm-hmm. around. I think very highly qualified people. I can personally recommend the folks over at the Jewish Community Center. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a staff that's, you know, tremendously knowledgeable and they're very kind. And I can tell you with me, I remember when I first went over there thinking I knew everything about working out here 4 or 5 years ago. I'm basing everything that I was doing over there on my experience at the university in 1976, mm-hmm. which is a few years ago, doing squats and things as a, you know, 55-year-old. And these guys were looking at me like, oh no, he's going to hurt himself. And after 2 or 3 weeks, they very kindly finally got me doing other things like lunges and leg extensions and things that weren't going to harm my back and were going to be better for me. And some of the high intensity stuff that you're talking about, keeping your heart rate up, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, rather than just going and doing a set of 8 mm-hmm. and then sitting there for 3 minutes and talking to everybody.
Right. Keep going.
Yeah, they made it so that you had a lot of repetitive stuff. So that's valuable information, Jennifer. Appreciate you sharing that. Where is all of this in terms of eating and exercise with fellowship? Mm-hmm. Can we do all of this on our own?
Yeah, I think so. Accountability, I think, is huge. I think if we try to change our habits on our own and we have no one to answer to, it's going to be really hard. I think it makes it so much easier when we have a buddy, maybe a workout buddy, maybe a dinner buddy, maybe a, you know, your family can act as a really good source of accountability, a counselor, a dietitian, somebody that can really help to keep you accountable, I think is really important.
When do we start our children on eating healthy? I mean, is it we start eating, you know, Captain Crunch and Frosted Flakes and, you know, I don't see a lot of fat, but I mean, it's like 99% sugar.
Yes.
That can't be good.
No. So I think with our kids, we got to start really young, even when they're babies, you know, and I think we have to remember that healthy food doesn't have to taste bad. And then I think the other huge thing with kids is let them help. Let them make the choice. Give them 2 healthy choices, but then they get to decide. So they have a choice of a carrot or broccoli or both, but they get to choose. Let them be a part of it. Let them make the healthy choices.
Is there a deficiency that you see a common ground with people that are not eating a certain amount of a nutrient that mm-hmm. they really need?
There's a really common one right now is actually vitamin D. We're starting to see how many people are truly deficient in vitamin D. And that's an interesting one because there are not a lot of food sources of vitamin D. So the theory is that potentially we're using too much sunscreen.
Mm.
And so a lot of us are deficient in vitamin D now.
And we're not talking about people going outside and sitting in the sun for an hour and a half getting sunburned.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But you need, especially in this beautiful place we live, get out and get a little tiny bit of sun. And what 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
Yeah, that's really all you need. And even in the summertime, 5 minutes is all you need to get all the vitamin D for the day.
How do you feel about a supplement?
I definitely recommend supplements, especially if you've been to your doctor and you see that your vitamin D level is low. And that's actually a great thing right now is a lot of primary care providers are testing vitamin D levels. And so that's very helpful. And if you see your borderline low or if you're very low, then that's a great opportunity to do a supplement.
As you know, we have Dr. Robert Downs in fairly frequently, who is the owner, or was the owner. He's actually transitioned to his son-in-law, our Downs Nutrition Center in Montgomery. And he has actually talked about vitamin D mm-hmm. and in great detail. And he's got a vitamin D complex as mm-hmm. a couple other things that seems to be a really nice product. But he always recommends that people go get a blood test.
Right. Yes.
And is that something that's pretty common?
Yeah.
And they'll, it's part of your annual physical?
It is. And I think it's interesting. You can always request lab tests from your doctor. So that's easy. And if your insurance doesn't cover it, most of them are not very expensive. And you can ask the lab, how much is it to do this vitamin D? And you're talking 10 to 20, maybe 30.
Yeah. Jennifer, one more time, your website?
NourishedNutritionCounseling.com.
And go there and click on the newsletter and sign up. Jennifer, thanks again so much for being with us today. We'll have you back here in a few weeks. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We'll see you tomorrow.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.